This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is... you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio by the Lone Ranger this evening from the Back of the Nest podcast. It is the legend, DR Kernaz. Let me tell you what a show we have in store for you. You may think it's just me and him flying the flag tonight. He's just got into the studio. He's already given me grief. He's going, I don't care about Palace. I don't care about the five games. What about Arsenal? What about we're set for a big, big show? He's already given me grief about Arsenal. We're comparing the two. Where are Arsenal going? Where are Palace going? There is so much to talk about. The Liverpool game in what was, let's be honest, yes, they lost. Yes, they didn't get points. A very good performance for Palace. Should have come away with something in the game. VAR certainly played his part. Maybe it's good that we don't have Nick tonight, because I know how he feels about VAR. It would have dominated the show. We will be joined by Max Matthews for his take on it. And we're going to be doing lots of other Crystal Palace news surrounding the club, in the community, off the field. And also, the decade is up. We're going to be talking what DR makes of the last decade for Crystal Palace, then we'll look towards doing a Burnley preview. But let's get into it, because DR says he wasn't that bothered on the weekend.
Yeah.
Not bothered, my friend. Why?
I mean, you've seen me after losses against Chelsea where I was actually annoyed that we didn't go for it. But Roy said before the game that we're not going to sit back. And I was like, all right, you're just playing mind games now. You're playing, and come on now, Roy. You shouldn't be playing mind games.
Not a fan of the mind games, DR.
Yeah, no, not for Roy Hodgson. He's more of a gentleman. Like, you look Roy as Sir Roy. Like, he should be Sir Roy, not mind game Roy. And yeah, so he decided, that's how I see Roy Hodgson. And so yeah, I thought he was playing mind games. And then, yeah, we didn't actually sit back. I mean, we went for it, which was so weird to see, because you would expect that you would sit back against the champions of Europe.
Mm.
Premier League, their lead in the race for Premier League, it seems like it's their league to lose right now.
Unbeaten.
And yeah, I mean, we went for it. Andros Townsend, Jordan Ayew, Wilfried Zaha. We've been talking about these players and how they're not involved as much. But in this game, they were. And that's due to Roy giving them more freedom and telling them that you could go forward. Go and pressure them. Don't sit back. And that's the way to approach these kind of games. Because you sit back against Liverpool, as we've seen in the past 4 to 5 games, they'll always have one or two opportunities and they'll put it in and then the game's over. But the fact that we didn't sit back and we actually went for it, there was actually some excitement in the ground. And I left the game not happy, but I left the game annoyed. And I shouldn't have left the game annoyed, because it's against Liverpool, right? Come on, you're not going to beat Liverpool. But I was actually annoyed that we didn't get a point out of the game.
Yeah.
And that's encouraging to see, especially after what we've seen in these last 5 games against these top teams.
Well, you was annoyed but encouraged by that performance.
Yeah.
It's interesting that maybe I don't want to sound harsh, DR, but is it fair in saying this was almost the anti-Palace performance, in the sense of they don't normally go and take on teams and go toe-to-toe with teams? Why was it now that Roy decided, go and express yourself to these players, go and give it as good as we've got, let's go toe-to-toe with them, let's see, let's show that we can offer something in this game as well?
There's two things. One, it's against his old club, and maybe that might play a part in it. And two, we're actually coming up against teams where we're not favourites, but we should be able to beat them. For example, we've got Burnley next game. Maybe if he's giving them the freedom this game, he's telling them, get used to it. This is how we're going to play from now on. Now these hard runner fixtures are done. But either way, the most important thing is that we've seen this couple of times at Royal, like, where we played different style of football in terms of we actually went for it, but then the next game we just stepped back and we didn't go for it as we did in the previous game. So I don't want to get too carried away with it, but I mean, if this is the way that we're going to play from now on, then that's good, because in a way I'm looking at our squad has more attacking players than defensive players, and we're not getting the best out of them due to how we've previously played and sat back. I mean, you saw it on the weekend. Andros Townsend had probably the best game of the season.
Yeah.
No coincidence. Look at the player position maps compared to Chelsea and Liverpool. Chelsea, Townsend, even the midfield. We were talking about these three attackers, but let's talk about the midfield. Luka Milivojevic, he wasn't as deep against Liverpool than he was against Chelsea. Kouyaté, they were just at the halfway line and they actually pressured them. So, yeah, I mean, so many positives out of this game. Annoyed, of course. You want to talk about the VAR now? The controversy.
He's busting me about it. He's steering me to the points. Yeah, look, because Palace were playing on the front foot, yeah. And obviously they were trying to be the first team to beat Liverpool domestically this season. And let's talk about it. Nearly started very, very brightly because Tomkins' goal that VAR decided wasn't a goal. And I know you are very honest on the back of the net, on the Love Sport Fan Show. You always, you know, even if it's Palace, you see it. You say it how you see it, DR. How do you see this one?
Of course, when you're at the stadium, you're always going to go against the referee and the VAR. You're going to say, oh, it's the wrong decision. But looking back at it, correct decision, in my opinion. I know that it wasn't directly involved with the goal, in a way, Jordan Ayew with that push. But you could see there's a clear push there, and it was just a silly mistake. I think Roy came out after the game and said that he agreed with it as well, in a way. But my problem is that if you're going to call that, why can't you look at the second goal that Liverpool scored and there was actually a push and actually a kick on the leg by Van Dijk to Jeffrey Schlupp? I mean, it's similar incidents, but it wasn't talked about as much. But I feel like the Van Dijk one was more of a foul than the Jordan Ayew one.
Well, this is it, because where do they draw the line? And if we're going to be giving VAR for pushes in the box, fouls in the box, there is a worry that a lot of these ones, we're seeing this. Football is a physical contact game. Is this going to happen all the time when there is a push? Would he have got that header anyway up? So, yes, he was. There was something that led up into that goal. It's very difficult, because like you said, they didn't look at it now. So now, are we opening that can of worms, DR?
But that's the thing. I mean, if that incident didn't happen with Van Dijk, you could say, when are we going to, you know, when should we call these? But it happened. You disallowed a goal due to a push on Dejan Lovren from Jordan Ayew. Mm. So you made that call that game. So if you're going to make them type of calls, then later on, why are you not even looking at it? Because I was staring at the referee when the second goal went in, and it seemed like there was no discussion at all between the referee and the VAR. So
was there any Palace player saying, go and look at it, though?
I think that's the problem. I mean, you want players to not go up to the referee, and they've said that many times, you know, they try to give yellow cards sometimes when players around referee. So it's up to the VAR to check that. I mean, if you can spot that Jordan Ayew one, then why can't you spot that? Because looking at it from, they got all types of angles. I only saw it after I saw a certain angle from the more of the right-hand side, where you can actually see Van Dijk, his leg goes forward as well, gets Jeffrey Schlupp as well as his hands, and he pushes him. So I could see that. If I could see that, then VAR should be able to see that, because they've got multiple angles and they can work quickly as well. So that's my only problem. I mean, we should have left there with at least a point due to how we played, because I actually thought that we played better at certain instances of the game than Liverpool. And that's just crazy to say, because this Liverpool side is very good and they've got very good players. But we deserve something out of that game. And that's why the more annoyance came out of it, because we actually didn't get anything against Liverpool.
Well, you deserve something out of the game. Certainly a point. Let's talk about Zaha. His first goal of the season. Great that he finally got it. Strange that it's only just come in November now. He was great on the day. Could have maybe got another equaliser very late. But great for him to get his first goal of the season, DR.
Yeah, he absolutely annihilated Trent Alexander-Arnold. That, I mean, this was probably one of Wilf's best games of the seasons, as well as Andros Townsend, which I mentioned. And as I've said, it's no coincidence. It's due to how we played. When he told Wilfried Zaha to actually go and attack and do what he does best, then of course he's going to cause all types of problems. And he did all game long. I mean, it's brilliant that he was on a score sheet, because that's what we've been really talking about. Is he actually worth 60 to 70 million? Because when you look at his production in terms of assists and goals this season, he hasn't kicked on. But if we play like this, he will get them goals and he will get them assists. And if clubs, when clubs look at that, then they'll be more willing to pay for Wilfried Zaha. But right now, if I was an opposition club and I'm looking at Wilf, in all honesty, I wouldn't pay that price that Palace are putting there. Because you look at his production, yes, he's a very good player. And if he moves to another team, he might get more goals and assists. But right now, he's not really doing it in terms of goals and assists so far. So it was such a positive move by Zaha, because we've talked about it and we've said that he hasn't performed against the big clubs. But as soon as Roy changes his system slightly, it's not that much. He just told them to be more forward, pressure the Liverpool defence and Liverpool midfield, and have a bit more freedom. As soon as that happened, you see that Wilf is on a score sheet. We're talking about Andros having a time of his life. You got James McArthur, Checo Kiate, who were brilliant in midfield. I don't think it's a coincidence. It's just one or two little tweaks that's changed the whole system, because we've got the players to play like that. We're not set up to be a wholly defensive squad. We're going to talk about Burnley later on, but that's more of a Burnley type. When you look at Burnley squad, then they're more set up like that. But we're not. We've got some attacking flair. I'm not saying that we're top six or top four club, but we've got some good attacking players. So why not use them to the best of their ability?
Yeah, Palace have a wealth of attacking options. Use them in the right areas. Well, Zaha did get his first goal of the season. Crystal Palace equalised. Mm. Only tied for 3 minutes, DR. You know, whenever you equalise in a game, the first thing is be steady at the back. They're going to come back at you. Really disappointing to get back in the game and then all the work was undone 3 minutes later.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the second goal I mentioned about the Van Dijk incidents, but another thing that I noticed is that when Christian Benteke, he came on, he normally has a duty when he starts for the team to mark front post, and it seems like from what I saw from the stands, he went to the front post and someone ordered him to go and mark a player. So there seems like there was a bit of confusion there. That's why Van Dijk was left open and that's why we struggled with that corner. But overall, yeah, we conceded two goals, but in the first half especially, I thought we were very good in terms of defending. We've talked about conceding sloppy goals in the last couple of games, but this game, that was not the case. Mm. I mean, you could argue about that, about the first goal, or could we have done better communication, but there were so many positive signs from there that I'm encouraged going forward that if the communication remains like that amongst our backline, then we could actually keep clean sheets against teams like Burnley's and stuff, who are scoring goals. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes, they have scored goals. But if we keep the communication up, and the most important thing was crosses into the box. I mean, Liverpool were putting early crosses into the box, and before we were struggling to keep them out, but we actually did manage to keep them out.
You did, and obviously Crystal Palace are, you know, tough run of fixtures at the minute, you know, having faced Manchester City, Arsenal, Leicester, we know are flying, Chelsea, then they play Liverpool on the weekend. There's now, I don't want to say an easier run of fixtures, but you're not facing those supposed top four, top six, and it's nice that we say the best performance of the season, which was against Liverpool, has come at the end of this run. It's something to build off. A foundation, isn't it, DR?
It is. It's absolutely massive. I mean, the next eight games, basically games till the new year, is going to show where we really are. Are we really a top 10 team? Can we really push for a top six? I don't think we can, but you never know with this squad. I mean, if we play like we did against Liverpool, against opposition who are less talented players than them, then you might be able to get one or two surprising results there. So this is a very important period for us, I mean, in this season. And it's I think the main thing is that fans going into these games, their expectations have changed. You have to win these type of games right now. You have to win it. And, I mean, the players know that as well. And this is a good way to go into these set of games. Because talking ahead of the Liverpool game, these players were up for it now. Andros talked about it, James McArthur talked about it. They said that we're looking forward to this game. But now the players realistically know that, all right, cool, we couldn't get all the results against the top sides, but we could beat these teams if we play like that. So, yeah, this is a massive, plus going into the games after a performance like that against Liverpool.
Yeah, something to build on. I certainly agree with DR there. But what do you think? Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. We'll be looking towards that Burnley game. We'll be getting Simon Townley on, a panellist for the Turfcast podcast and hairdresser to the Burnley players. Hairdresser to the stars. I can't wait for that interview. Just quickly, it is Champions League action tonight. English clubs are in action. Tottenham at home to Olympiacos. Jose Mourinho's second game. That new manager bounce. They're losing to Olympiacos 1-0. Man City 0-0 against Shakhtar Donetsk. We will keep you across all of those games. Munich are 1-0 up. But Spurs, as it stands, are currently losing in Mourinho's first game.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with DR Kernas from Back of the Nest podcast. We are talking everything where Palace are concerned. DR saying, look, he didn't give Palace much of a chance against Liverpool. He came away annoyed because he was so encouraged by that performance. They certainly should have got a point. I watched it. I felt like they were worthy of a point. It happens in these games. So annoying when you don't have something to show for it. But they can build on that performance, an anti-Roy performance maybe. And that is praise. Build on that. You have the attacking players. Well, delighted to say that Max Matthews, Love Sport's very own, has joined me and DR now on the phone. Max, thank you for giving us a little bit of the time. Townsend, Roy Hodgson, all saying best Palace performance of the season so far, even in that defeat. Max, do you agree?
Hi, guys. Yeah, you know what? I think I do. I think I do agree. It was really, really, really solid from us. We threatened. I'd argue we had more chances than them, probably better chances than them as well. And we were unlucky to get to not get any points from it, but that is what champions do. You know, they take advantage. We only gave them a couple of opportunities and they took them both. That's why they're probably going to win the Premier League this year.
Charlie's calling it anti-Roy performance. I mean,
that sounds bad.
Yeah, it sounds bad, but I mean,
but you understand. Yeah.
It's negative and positive. yeah, it's anti-Roy. What do you make of the performance and the fact that we were actually playing on the front foot against the champions of Europe?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It is a difficult one. I'm not sure how Roy approached it so differently from how he normally approaches every single other game. Normally we're very conservative even at home, but against Liverpool he kind of seemed to fight fire with fire, and obviously they are well known for their gegenpressing. They're pressing high up the pitch and, you know, catching people off guard and getting the ball back very quickly after they lose it, and he almost tried to do that against you know, the team who came second last year. He's probably going to finish as champions this year. He tried to play them at their own game, and we saw Kouyaté pushing on a little bit further and pressing their defenders high up the pitch. It was really intriguing. And to be honest, I didn't know Roy had that kind of tactical switch in his locker. I'm really glad to see it. And hopefully we'll be kind of improving more facets of our game going forward and trying new things to suit the team we're playing against, rather than just doing the basics of the Roy Hodgson performance every week, which seems to be a kind of flat 4-4-2 and aim for the 1-0.
Another thing that I really didn't see coming is Christian Benteke coming off the bench and actually making an impact. What do you make of his performance?
Benteke needs to start for me. And start of the season, he was played out of the team by Jordan Ayew. Ayew did really well. And Ayew hasn't really even dropped off in his performances that much. But Ayew, on his day, is only ever going to be, you know, a 7, maybe 8 out of 10 kind of player. Christian Benteke, when he's on his day, can score 17 goals in a season like he did in his first season. That player is still within him, and I think you've got to give him the chance to do that now. He's done well when he's come on in the last couple of games. When he came on against Liverpool, his overhead kick was narrowly wide. He played a big part in Zaha's goal in the equaliser. And for me, you've got to play him. His international form can be translated across into club form. Will it? You know, let's find out. But let's give him a shot in the team.
The only problem I have with him starting is the fact that it seems like when he starts, we rely on hoofing the ball up to him and expecting him to head it on to Wilf or Andros, whoever's playing out wide. And I mean, it's really a hit or miss situation. But when you look at the first goal that we scored, it wasn't Benteke heading the ball on. It was actually Benteke playing it on the floor and giving it to Wilfried Zaha. And I mean, by him coming off the bench, because we've been playing like that and we haven't been relying on hoofs all game long, he just naturally comes in and has to fit in our game. And I feel like if he starts, we might go back to just hoofing the ball up to him. And that's my only slightly worry about Benteke, because I don't feel like we play to our strengths like that. And Wilf gets less touches and all the other players get less touches like that.
Sure, I definitely take that point. And maybe that's a problem at Liverpool as well, because when he came on for Liverpool, he would tend to play as a target man and they would lump it up to him. And really, that's not his game. Obviously, he has a good aerial presence. But I think maybe it detracts from the team when he comes on and everyone just immediately starts lumping it long to him. There has to be a bit of a mix of that. And we saw in his first season that people, especially Townsend and the fullbacks, would aim kind of long, high crosses towards him. And I think that if you're doing that, if you're doing it with the purpose of looking for him and aiming for him, as well as playing on the floor and giving Zaha an opportunity to play like that, as long as it's not just kind of aimlessly, hopelessly lumping it forward, then it's all right. And I hope that that mentality, that attitude, can prevail when he does play.
Yeah, I completely agree. Max, you know, it's easy to get bogged down in stats and runs and we say Palace haven't won in five games, but look at the teams they've faced. But not only that, you know, obviously there's encouragement, there's praise for that performance, but they still stand on 15 points, even in that five-game winless run, and yet they're only, you know, 3 points off six, 4 points off fifth. And so even in that form, they're only one win to get them right back in that mix again, aren't they?
Yeah, they're not far off at all. And of course, you're right. You never want to praise a team for losing. And we have to start getting points in games where we're maybe not dominant and nicking the odd point here and there, like Liverpool are very good at doing. They're very good at getting results when they're not playing particularly well. But as you said, there are encouraging points from the performance and they'll definitely take that forwards. I think now we've got maybe one of the easiest runs of any club in the Premier League until the end of the season. Obviously, in the Premier League, no game is easy, but our games are easier than some other teams. And I'm sure that we can get right back up there in the next couple of weeks.
I think one negative coming out of this game was Joe Wood going out injured again. I mean, he last game against Chelsea, he struggled, but he managed to come back for the Liverpool game. It's just, I mean, we've talked about it previously on this show, the fact that we haven't got another fullback, but it seems like he might be out for, I don't know, he might be out for a long time or he might not, but let's say that Joel Ward is out for the Burnley game, you put Martinelli in there, how much do you think that impacts our team going forward? Because, yeah, Joel Ward isn't the greatest player going forward, but he's still better than Martinelli, and you need your fullbacks to help likes of Andros Townsend as well at times. Do you think that it could contribute to Andros Townsend's performance of not having Joel Ward there?
I think it could contribute to Townsend's performance. I think it could also contribute to the right centre-back's performance, whether that's Cahill or Tompkins or whoever. But it just goes to show that you need to plan for these kind of eventualities in the summer. And you're right, we've talked about it before, but we should have got a second right-back in the summer, even if it was a backup to Joel Ward rather than a number one choice and Ward is number two. We needed another player in there because now what we're seeing is Ward is getting injured. Understandably, players get injured during the season, especially over the December period when there are so many fixtures. And we're paying the price now for not having a specialist right-back because Ward is the only specialist right-back in the squad. Whether it's Kelly who plays there, I don't know, maybe even Tompkins. Van Aanholt has played right back on kind of rare occasions. I think we are going to see a drop off, and it is really only the manager's and the scouting team's fault.
Max, just very quickly, obviously we spoke about the game and that terrific performance on the weekend, even though coming away with no points. A big talking point, obviously VAR, the Tompkins goal ruled out, the push from IU, obviously on Lovren, deemed, you know, it was obviously in the build-up up to that goal. The goal was chalked off. Roy said he agreed with it. I'm not so sure. A lot of people were saying it should have stood. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, good question. I was wondering if we were going to talk about this. It is a really difficult one because kind of individually, if you look at the incident, there is a push by IU on Lovren. Is it enough to make, you know, a big 6'4" Eastern European centre-back throw himself to the ground like that? Probably not. Also, he was never getting to the ball. I understand why the referees looked at that in ultra slow motion. Obviously, things were worse in slow motion and not given it. But for me, as a Palace fan, I hope I'm not being too biased. For me, it was soft. I don't mind if the ruling is that any contact at all like that in the box is going to be a foul and, you know, disallow a goal if there's a push like that in the build-up. But then the thing is consistency. You have to have that every week. And Arsenal scored a goal against us this season, for example, where Lacazette and MacArthur at the near post, right next to each other, marking each other. Lacazette pushes him away, like nudges him away, flicks it on, Arsenal score. That was widely seen as a goal and a fair goal. You know, oh, it's just people barging each other in the box. It's just strength. He's just using his strength. It's clever play. It's a goal. And we're seeing now the inconsistency with the ref looking at the Palace goal against Liverpool and saying, oh, well, it's a push, so it can't count. As long as things are consistent, that's all you want.
You're talking about consistency and talking about... But, I mean, in that game in particular, you look at the second goal, Liverpool's second goal, and you could argue that there's a case for Van Dijk pushing Jeffrey Schlupp. And I'm not too sure if you saw that incident, but there's contact from Van Dijk to Jeffrey Schlupp. And you look at it, the VAR, it seemed like they didn't even check it. I mean, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I have seen that. You're right. It is odd that VAR seems to check so many incidents, but then something like that, which seemed to be a clear push, don't get checked. I don't know. The incident isn't quite clear enough to see if Van Dijk got the ball. If he is, it's not a foul. But it did look like that there was a bit of a push. But all of this has to be balanced against the fact that. It's easy to have a bit of a short memory with this. We remember that Aston Villa had a goal disallowed against us very late on for something which may not have, which maybe couldn't, shouldn't have been disallowed. Arsenal had a goal disallowed against us, maybe a little bit unfairly, and we've had two kind of quite tight VAR calls against West Ham as well go our way. So we have benefited at other times in the season. So ultimately, it's probably just evening itself out. But I do agree with you. The IU disallowed goal was a bit soft and maybe we're a bit unlucky with the Van Dijk push on Schlupp as well.
Yeah, always great to get you on, Max, talking a lot of sense there. Max Matthews, Love Sport's very own. Great to get him on the show talking about other VAR incidents that Palace, it was in favour of them. Maybe it shouldn't have been. Diaz looking at me like, don't you bring it up. We are talking next, though, about some off-the-field incidents that are going on at Crystal Palace. I mean, let me tell you, a few of them, they're fairly big.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport, and you are listening to me, Charlie Hawkins, on the Crystal Palace Fan Show. I'm joined in the studio with DR Kernas from the Back of the Nest podcast. Well, we were just talking about the Liverpool game. Max Matthews took out a little time to join us this evening, giving us his thoughts on the game and that tough run of fixtures. Just very quickly, we will be looking and doing a preview of the Burnley game, but there is Champions League action tonight, and Spurs are in action. Mourinho's first game in charge of Spurs in the Champions League. They're losing 2-0 to Olympiacos. Can they turn it around there? DR is smiling.
Early days. I mean, they'll still be better than Arsenal in a couple of years' time. give it some time.
I really don't know where this come from, DR. Honestly, when we started these shows, I thought he was a really nice person.
Just quickly, who'd you rather have, Mourinho or Emery?
Emery. Yep. Let's quickly talk now about the off the field stuff where Crystal Palace are concerned. The big news coming out of the club in the last few days, DR, apparently, as there always is, a takeover bid is close to being completed. Crystal Palace are within weeks of confirming $215 million takeover of the club. The consortium aims to buy the whole club, obviously including Steve Parrish's 18% stake, DR. Yeah. What have you made of this news?
I mean, we've seen it for a while that there's always been talks about a takeover happening. I'm not that surprised about it, but I'm not too sure if it's completely true, in all honesty. But I think...
Why?
Because the report actually said that the deal could be done before Christmas. So that is real... real soon, and it seems like there's only one report from it.
It's been really under wraps, though. Could this be the case?
It could be, but I just don't see it happening, really. Parrish's 18% holding. I think that's the most significant part about it, because, yes, we've talked about the American owners and them, they're selling their stakes in a club, but the fact that Parrish is 18% as well, that's quite significant, and that's rather... saying that Parrish, his time at Palace might be over sooner rather than later. And it's interesting because he's the one that, I don't want to say this, but he's the one that made us, he delivered us to the Premier League and made us stable there. I mean, there's been some questionable decisions, of course. One of them being...
Can't get it all right.
Yeah, you can't get it all right. But the fact that if Parrish is even thinking about selling... his stake at a club, then that could make it very interesting, because with the American owners, you saw it, they came in, it didn't work out, but this time we might not even have Parrish to save us anymore and make decisions. But the report did say, let me not exclude this out of it, it did say yes, it will happen, it might happen before Christmas. Negotiations are still in a way, but Parrish should stay on to help steer the club into a new era. That's what I'm confused about. Well, it's like he wants
that's
to
what you want the new owners to steer you into that new era. Let's take it from I know Steve Parrish, obviously you hold him in high regard. How do you feel, and how do the Palace fans, the general Palace fans, consensus of a takeover? Because this could be an exciting thing. We've seen what takeovers does. Look what it does to City. We hear the rumours all the time. Palace are close. We need that investment, you know. We need that recruitment. How do they feel, though? Because, obviously, you mentioned the other narrative. The flip side is sometimes it doesn't go that well. Yeah. Where do you stand on it all?
I mean, I think before the American owners came in, I think more Palace fans might have been up for it, to see a bit of change and maybe a bit of money come into the club. But I think from what's happened since the American owners have come in, and the reports that they're not really interested, they're looking to sell their shares and all other drama, I'm not too sure if Palace fans are really convinced on a whole takeover, including Parrish's stakes being sold. I mean, it's a very risky move, because we've seen it before with other clubs where a takeover happens. You have owners like Mike Ashley, for example, at Newcastle, and the club has just gone downhill ever since. So, I mean, me as a whole, I'm not that convinced. I'm not that convinced, because I really don't know who's coming in.
But you can't not sell DR in case of it going wrong, because it could go so right. That is the gamble, isn't it?
But
you have to do your due diligence before. You have to do your homework, your research into the people that are buying this club.
I have faith in Parrish to make sure that if this does happen, he would sell it on to...
Well, this is
the right,
what...
He'll
so
make
so
sure
why
aren't
the right
you more
people, positive then?
But it's just the fact that there's no
no
real
information.
Names. Yeah, no real names out there. Who's going to come into the club? We don't know. And that's the risky part about it, because American owners came in and it didn't work out.
Well, what do you make of it, Eagles fans? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Potential talks there. Consortium aiming to buy your club. £215 million. What do you make of that? In other off-the-field matters, Palace have held talks with Croydon Council over applying for a purchase order to secure a piece of land next to Selhurst Park that is currently DR owned by Sainsbury's. What does this mean for the club? Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, I mean, Sainsbury's, it seems like Sainsbury's been an issue in terms of the redevelopment process for a very long time. Even when we announced it, I was at the actual event itself, and when I was speaking to other people within the club, it seems like Sainsbury's was the ones that I were actually delaying it, and it seems like nothing has really changed about this.
Why do they want the piece of land? Stadium extension, expansion?
I don't think they want it in particular. I think they want to... They would be willing to sell it, but of course they want a lot of money from it, which Palace, I don't think, want
now,
to
Now, why
do
Palace want this land?
Oh, because just the way that the stadium is going to expand, it requires that land as well. It's just one of the things, it's part of the plan. So it works like that. So, of course, you need to have it in order to complete the whole development in the way that you want. Yeah, in the way that you want it. But yeah, it's just it's an area of a car park. I mean, what can I say? Don't go to Sainsbury's with your cars. maybe that's the best solution. Yeah, don't go to Sainsbury's with your cars.
They are,
and we've got it all sorted. I mean. If I was in charge.
Unbelievable. You should be in charge. I hope you've registered to vote because that is that simple. That people, they come from far and wide. Sort out this problem, sort out this problem. Just don't go Sainsbury's with your cars.
Yeah, with your cars. That'll simple. Be my number one.
Saving the planet, you know, climate, you know, the petrol. Aside,
there's been people out there saying, you know what, don't go to Sainsbury's, Palace fans. And I don't know, some people might be buying
into it. That
is
genuinely a real movement, is it? Hashtag don't go Sainsbury's.
I've seen on social media, some people have been saying, I don't know if they're serious, but yeah, I mean, they are holding us back. And it is annoying in a way because I've been looking forward to this redevelopment for a very long time. And it just seems like everything's slowly getting into place, but then there's Sainsbury's. And it's not the Sainsbury's, it's the car park.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Well, hopefully you're now doing your shopping on foot. You're not going on car or any vehicle, especially ones that are near any supermarkets that have car parks near Selhurst Park.
Yeah.
But let's quickly talk the NDR, because not only is it nearly the end of the year 2019, it's nearly the end of the decade, 2010 to 2020. Obviously 10 years, crazy 10 years for where Palace are concerned, really. The highs, the lows and the ups and downs. You've been there to see it all. If we can take you, and I'm really kind of putting you on the spot, you didn't know we were really going to talk about this tonight. In those 10 years, what are your fondest memories? What are your highs, your lows in that 10 years? You know, seeing Palace from spot A to spot B, you know, if it was on a chart, it would be very roller coaster, to be fair. But in the last 10 years, so, you know, if we say, where were Palace in 2010 and look where we are, maybe potentially a month away from a takeover at the end of 2019.
Well, you look at 2010, we basically, there was going to be no Crystal Palace. Mm. I mean, there was a chance of that actually
we could
happening.
Have done a bigger show on this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to where we've come in that short span of time. I mean, if you're looking at this decade as a whole, majority of it, I was looking back just now, and we've spent the majority of it in the Premier League. Mm. I mean, 2013 you got promoted, and ever since then we've been in the Premier League. Yeah. So it's been crazy
in a sense,
decade.
In that decade, yeah.
You just look at the managers that we've had. From Tony Pulis to Frank de Boer for basically 1.5 working days. We had Sam Allardyce, who I wasn't convinced on, but we actually played some fantastic football under him, and I miss him.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
you miss Allardyce, yeah?
Yeah, honestly.
Big up to UDI. Well, never back away from your opinions.
No. Okay, look at Patrick Van Aanholt under Allardyce.
Yeah?
He was brilliant. Look at Benteke under Allardyce. It was brilliant.
No, I'm not shooting you down.
I was so surprised because I didn't expect this. I thought, all right, Allardyce is going to come in. We're going to play this boring type of football. But we actually played some nice football. I mean, we beat you guys, Arsenal 3-0.
I remember
that day brilliantly.
I remember I've erased that from my decade.
But yeah, we've had some good memories under Allardyce. But in terms of my team of the decade, it's hard to pick. If I'm picking by talent, well, there's one position where it's not hard. That's goalkeeper. That's Julian Speroni.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legend. I mean, he's a legend. Yeah, he's a legend.
I mean, we don't... that's easy.
Yeah, exactly. But then...
Have you got a team? Have you picked a team?
Yeah. I mean, just by talent, quickly.
All right. Defence. Okay. We know the goalkeeper, Speroni.
Right. Okay.
Right back.
Right back. Best talent, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Sako, Cahill, Patrick Van Aanholt.
All at right back?
No. that's the back four. I'm doing it quickly for you.
Yeah, midfield.
And then midfield, Kabay, Luka Milivojevic.
Legend, Kabay.
Yeah.
Loves him.
Can you use loan players?
Well, if he's making your 11, if that's what you want, it's your 11. Who am I to disagree? Yeah, go on.
I just feel like he worked well with Kabay and, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I thought he was brilliant.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Some football player.
It's your team.
Especially
Eagles fans, give us your team. Go on.
Bolasie.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't end his time at Palace brilliantly. Bolasie, especially Bolasie and Wilf, Championship. Glenn Murray in the Championship. I mean, there was... 1 month where he scored more than Messi and Ronaldo. He had like 31 goals or something. Yeah, I mean, that front three that's like a proper throwback.
And Wan-Bissaka makes it on that one season.
Yeah, I mean, Wan-Bissaka, this decade, if you're looking at right backs, it's only Joe Ward.
Wan-Bissaka
mainly. You're looking at them two that's played along. I mean, if you're looking at talent, it has to be Wan-Bissaka.
No, it's
one season.
It's a strong 11. You was strong in your choosing there. You can never be swayed. The Eagles fans, I'm asking you, it is nearly the end of the decade. What is your best Palace 11. Please get in touch with us tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 2558. We're going to look towards that game with Burnley. Delighted to say Simon Townley, a panellist for the Turfcast podcast. But more importantly, who cares about that? Because he's hairdresser to the Burnley stars. I can't wait to not only ask him what that is like, but see if he'll give me a trim.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a lone representative tonight, the man, the myth, the legend, DR Kernas from the Back of the Nest podcast. Well, we just spoke about Palace's best 11 from DR's point in this last decade. We spoke to Max Matthews. We done the Liverpool review, the VAR controversy. It has been a packed show for me and DR tonight, but we are looking towards that game with Burnley on the weekend, who are having a good time under Sean Dyche in the Premier League. Delighted to say we are now joined by Simon Townley, panellist from Turfcast podcast. But more importantly, Simon, let's be honest. Let's forget the game. Let's forget Turfcast just for a minute, because you are the hairdresser for all the Burnley stars. Let's begin with that. How did you start? How did the players get in touch with you? Who's the best person to cut hair for? Who moans the most? Who wants to shape up on a daily?
Wow, there's so many questions. Right, okay. So I'll start with the how did get in that sort of area. Started a few years ago when I used to do, you know, like the under-21s, a few of the kids coming through. I had a local salon in Burnley. They sort of visited me. And then we signed a player, obviously, you might know him, called Danny Ings. He actually had a torrid time when he first joined Burnley, if you remember. He got a big knee injury, and I think he was out for about 12 months. Yeah. Pretty much straight off the off. But then, obviously, he joined the development squad while he got back to fitness, turned in onto him as being a client, and then it just grew from there to your Heatons and so on and so forth.
And so who's the best then to cut for? You know, who's like, you know, always has to have the, you know, the freshest trim, you know, the new shape up? And who do you think, oh, not him again, all he does is moan in the chair?
Oh, see, I can't answer the negative question, let's be fair. I know you've got to ask that question. Who do you think's the best one?
Looking at the 11, who do I think, who's got the best Barnet there? That's a tough one.
I'll give you my answer in a minute. I'll put
Dwight McNeil?
Oh, yeah, do you know what? He's got, like, he's fresh, isn't he? He's young, yeah. he's fresh, he's exciting. But
I imagine Sean Dyche is pretty easy, just quickly, quick job. Done.
Yeah, don't do it. He's anti-modern technology and everything, mate. He don't go nowhere near. I'm a hairdresser. He's having none of me.
Simon, listen, I know you're a hairdresser to the stars, mate. I'm going to find you. I'd love you to give me a trim up. If you saw my barn, it looks like Stevie Wonder's had a go on it. Let's quickly talk about the game on the weekend. Obviously, Burnley are going well at the minute, as they always are, Sean Dyche. We're hearing this managerial merry-go-round. Sean Dyche is a name that's being linked to a few of those jobs. How well, in your opinion, is this man doing at your club?
I listened to Sam Allardyce the other day on the radio, and he summed it up perfectly for me. And he said that, you know, to win a trophy, you kind of monitored on your trophy winnings, like your Pochettinos and stuff haven't actually won anything. But to win a trophy, you only have to win 6 games in a row. Whereas to get Burnley to Europa League in 7th, you have to be consistent over a full season. Now, I can't say it any better than that myself, because, let's be fair, the 11 on the paper aren't the best 11, and I'm open to admitting that. But to get them to the Europa League the way we did, with, you know, Tom Eaton out very early on in that season, a new boy called Nick Pope then, and obviously there's some other injury aspects to deal with, and then he got that to the Europa League. I think that's an unbelievable achievement with the squad depth that we have.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And you look at Burnley's style of football, I mean, with all due respect, it's not the most exciting out there in the Premier League. But we've kind of had the similar situation with Palace and Roy Hodgson, where fans have been frustrated and said that we've had enough of Roy Hodgson and his defensive-minded approach. I'm not saying Burnley's defensive, but of course, when you associate Burnley, you think of balls into the box, and it's not really the greatest. What's it like watching it as a fan, and do you mind it if it gets you the results?
See, we haven't been spoiled like the Palaces have in previous, with, you know, your exciting football and your top-end Premier League finishes on, you know, more than one occasion. That's the first time we've ever finished up there. So we've grown with this mantra of playing long balls and when we have to, and being a bit more sort of rugged at the back, because we were in Division 2 when I started watching us, and going up to the Championship and then on to, even to Premier League. We haven't really changed our style of play. I think the most exciting we got was with Eddie Howe. That never got us into the Premier League. So, do you know, can I say that it frustrates me? Sometimes it does when you're watching lesser teams like Sheffield United. I would say to me was a team that we should be beating. But I know they've gone and excelled everything this season, but to get turned over by them 3-0, that's when it's frustrating. But yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think it's the worst type of football to play. We can switch it up. I think. Do you remember back to the Everton goal that we scored a couple of years ago, where we said if it were Barcelona, that'd be played on loop all day long.
Yeah, I mean, you've had good moments, of course. But yeah, that's the thing, because as you said, we have got some attacking players at Palace, but some Palace fans, even in the stadium, you can notice it now. It's just they've been fed up because Roy's not being using the players to the best of their ability, and the football's not being exciting. So it was interesting to see your perspective there. Another thing, of course, your strikers, they've been scoring goals, Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes. I think they've got 6 goals each so far this season. How can Palace even stop them?
Well, you've got serious centre-halves at the back, haven't you? Let's be fair. Like, Cahill's so experienced. This is a game made for him. You know, long balls, eye in the air. That's what we like dealing with, crosses. He should be mopping that up all day long with his calibre. You know, is he going to beat someone one-on-one with pace? Probably not, but this is the kind of game I expect him to sort of shine for you. Your attacking force of Burnley is going to be just balls in, set pieces. If you can sort of come in with that attitude of you know what's coming, I can't see why you couldn't defend against us. But yeah, you're all right. They are on fire. Chris Wood, in particular, getting half chances and putting him in nowadays. So it's a contrast from what last season was with him.
Yeah, well, obviously, Burnley are on a really good run at the minute, Simon. They beat Watford 3-0. They beat West Ham 3-0. There's a little bit of a pattern. The game before, they lost 3-0. It's a scoreline that seems to be following them around at the minute. But if we're taking those two games, 3 points, 3 goals, clean sheets, they're you know, great foundations, a lot of confidence at the minute. How do you think this game will play out, and what is your score prediction, Simon?
Well, funny you say that. I said that on Turfcast podcast this morning when we did ours. I said, on the pattern of history, 3 goals plus in this game should be a certain bet, to be honest with you. But I looked at your run of fixtures, and after Burnley, you've got to, I mean, even with Burnley included, as a Palace fan, you've got to be looking at this thinking this is a winnable game for you, irrelevant of the table position at the minute. But I do think that at home, Burnley can beat anybody, and I do think that we should be beating Palace at home if we want to stay as a top serious contenders for pushing on to the top half of the season, top half of the table.
Yeah, so what is your score prediction then, Burnley, to get the win here?
Yeah, I'm going to go, I've gone, can't even remember what I went on Turfcast now, so I'm going to completely contradict myself there. But I think I went for 2-1.
2-1. Simon, you're making no friends here, but you have to stick by your team. 2-1. Real pleasure to get you on, Simon. We'll have to get you on another show. Simon Tanley there, panellist for Turfcast podcast and obviously hairdresser to the Burnley players. Really good to just get that insight. He's going to back his team. We're hearing, you know, 3-0, 3-0 and then 3-0 in reverse, DR. But for you, this is the big one. You've got past this tough stretch of fixtures. How does it play out for you in your score prediction?
First of all, are we going to use the same approach as we did against Liverpool? I think that plays a massive part in terms of my score prediction. I feel like if we do use the same approach and if we do put Burnley under pressure, then we're more likely to get a decent result. So that's the thing with Roy, you never know really. We might go back to the old defensive approach just because they're hoofing balls up to Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes and we're scared of it. So I'm not too sure, but I think I'm more positive than last week. Last week I predicted 2-1 Liverpool, I think. Did I?
I'm going to have to start writing these down, because you're making that you get it right every week, and I'm not buying this.
Yeah. Yeah. But this week, I think I'm going to go with a 2-0 Palace.
Whoa, 2-0 Palace.
Yeah. I feel like Wilfried Zaha and Andros Townsend, they've had really good games. They had a really good game against Liverpool, and I feel like they'll continue that form on, and the team's on a high. As we said, if you're playing like that against Liverpool, do you want to go out there and get the same... And you want to do the same and get a result against Burnley?
Well, Simon picked a Burnley win. DR, of course, from back in the nest, is picking a Palace win. We asked you to get in touch with your Palace 11. Our main man here, Nick Gillard, has tweeted he's going for Guaita. He's saying better than Julian.
You can't do that.
He's saying better than Julian as well. And he's back for Klein, Cahill, already. Sacco, Kelly, Kabai, Townsend, Wilf, MacArthur, Murray, and wait for this one, Chamakh. Yeah.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Chamakh was actually decent at Palace, but I wouldn't include him in my all-decade team. I'll put Murray ahead of him. Yeah, I'll just keep Murray there and put Bolasie instead of Chamakh.
Unbelievable. What do you make of both teams? What do you make of the game on the weekend? DR, always a pleasure to have you in the studio, as it is every Tuesday, 8 till 9. It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show Takeover right here on Love Sport Radio. We'll see you next week at the same time, 8 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.